Good morning. It's 7:33. You're watching and listening to the Wake Up America Show with Austin Peterson at wakeupamericashow.com. Well, lots of finger pointing going on last week after the midterms failed to produce a red wave. So who's really to blame? Is it Donald Trump and time for us to move on? Or is it Mitch McConnell, who from behind the scenes failed to get out enough money in these key elections where people like Blake Masters and others failed to get across the finish line in winnable races? Let's talk to somebody who knows best. That's Tho Bishop. He is the communications director for the Mises Institute, and he's joining us on the line right now. Good morning, Tho. Thank you for taking your time with us today.
Thank you for having me, Austin.
Yeah, we were having this conversation on Twitter yesterday. I thought it would be worthy of a segment this morning on the morning show. The question of who's really to blame for people like Blake Masters not getting across the finish line. And you kind of, you know, have feet in both camps here. Mitch McConnell didn't spend enough and Donald Trump didn't do enough. Do you want to make your case?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, you know, we have to recognize that we just have a profound leadership problem in the GOP and really just amongst sane people in American politics right now. I'm someone who has been a Trump fan, you know, since 2016. I think the Trump revolution was great. And that was an example of, I think, American Republicans were desperate for new leadership and wanted Donald Trump to fill that void. The problem is that we got a situation where Donald Trump didn't spend money that he got for his people, right? You know, he was doing donation drives where $1 went to Blake Masters for 99 going to Donald Trump. If you want to be a leader of the party, you've got to spin and put your people in power. But Mitch McConnell certainly is to blame, spending more money on attacking Republicans in Alaska than, you know, getting Blake Masters to the finish line in Arizona. Kevin McCarthy, you know, has been a complete disappointment, you know, really his entire congressional career. The priorities, again, it doesn't matter if it's MAGA camp or establishment Republicans, all of them deserve the loss here. And it's really a troubling time right now.
If you're just tuning in, we're speaking to Tho Bishop. He's the communications director for the Mises Institute. Now, in one of the fingers are pointing out is the candidates who believed in the 2020 stolen election theme turned off the independents. Do you buy that?
Perhaps to a certain extent. I mean, it's something that I assumed going into this election. My kind of working analysis was that normal people kind of are underappreciated in politics, right? And so normal people are, you know, they'll have inconsistent views, right? You know, they don't want their taxes raised, but they want government to keep their hands off the Medicare and Medicaid. And I guess just kind of assumed that going into this, any turnoff they had maybe about some of the later Trump stuff, the way the media has presented things, you know, all the Democratic hysteria over January 6th, that was always going to take a backbench to, you know, gasoline prices and the cost of steak and eggs going up. But if you look around, I mean, even though nationally, right, the turnout for Republicans was significantly higher than Democrats broadly, on these key races, the results are what they are. And you know, there's something to be said. I think a big part of this is Republicans still have not caught up to the changes in the way that elections are conducted, right? I'm not talking about, you know, the Kraken and voting machines changing tabulations after the fact. There's something to be said about Democrats having vastly overperformed in increases in vote by mail balloting. Again, some of these fundamentals on how elections are changed. And I think that perhaps is a bigger thing than turnoffs to independents generally. But the same thing, though, is complaining about it after the fact isn't good enough, right? I mean, we're dealing with a very sick and twisted left right now, doing everything they can to, you know, subject us to anti-human, very dangerous policies. And again, if we don't have an answer to that on the right to stop them, then we deserve everything that's coming. We need serious people handling these things. And you know, what 2022 has shown is that we simply do not have that serious people up top.
If you're just tuning in, we're speaking to Tho Bishop, communications director for the Mises Institute, about what went wrong in the elections last week for Republicans. Now, a lot of the finger pointing that's going on right now is Donald Trump blaming, you know, Ron DeSantis for, you know, for this. And I know that you're a DeSantis Republican. It says so in your Twitter profile. What do you make of the attacks that Donald Trump has brought, you know, the broadsides he's launching against your boy, DeSantis?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I hate to see it. I think this is the first time really since 2016 where Donald Trump sees a genuine rival for the stage. And in particular with DeSantis, it's someone who is not an establishment guy, really, by my definition. He's someone who has a unique record where he can almost out MAGA Trump in many ways, right? You know, when he was in, you know, everything that he did in COVID, he often had to do forcing a more traditional Republican legislature to do what he wanted them to do. You know, he stood up not only to DC, but to corporate power, trying to become the enforcement wing of Fauciism. And so the specific accomplishments of DeSantis, I think, really threatened Trump's old hold over, let's say, the MAGA movement. And so I'm not surprised that Trump is lashing out. I hate to see it. In my ideal world of worlds, you know, I would have much rather had, you know, 4 more years of Trump and, you know, 4 years of DeSantis really leveraging every single thing he could get from his governor's position. And then, you know, ideally go into 8 years of DeSantis afterwards. Given the results of 2022, given Trump's reactions to it, given the turnoff that his attacks on on DeSantis are having, even amongst, you know, friends, you know, people here in Bay County where I'm active in my Republican Party, this is a very MAGA club. They're not liking what Donald is saying right now. And so I'm not surprised by it with the egos involved, and it is what it is. And again, I have tremendous respect for what Donald Trump did, you know, the energy he infused in this movement. But it's a bad look right now. He's hurting himself, you know, right now. And again, the attacks that are going to start coming to DeSantis are part of the game. I trust that he's going to be able to handle it well. Trying to make him out to be some sort of, you know, Kevin McCarthy plot against MAGA while, you know, you have Donald Trump out there trying to double down on Kevin McCarthy as speaker, you know, is a little funny in its own right. But I'm not surprised, but it is disappointing to see.
We're speaking to Tho Bishop, communications director for the Mises Institute, about the midterm elections. One last question regarding, you know, surrounding the midterms. Over the weekend, the senator from Missouri, Josh Hawley, tweeted that the old Republican Party is dead and that it's time for us to create a new Republican Party that appeals to the massive amount of independents that the Republicans lost last week. I guess my question is, I mean, even though like I agree with that on its face, though, is how do you create a new Republican Party that's appealing to independents that still holds to the ideals of the MAGA movement, knowing that to some extent, some of the, you know, like the election fraud narrative of the MAGA movement is what I would, you know, interpret as a millstone sort of holding it back. So what would a new Republican Party be? And, you know, could people like yourself and myself, who are more libertarian Republicans, have a place in it?
I believe so. I think intellectually, the project that really kind of represents what Hawley's talking about, and really, I think, kind of defines DeSantis's intellectual worldview, which I think will become increasingly important on the right, is a sort of burgeoning national conservatism movement. And that, I think, is a more broad coalition where you have people with, particularly on some economic issues, you know, there's a lot of interest in you know, explicit protectionism, things like that, which I do not like. But on the other side, there's increased skepticism of the administrative state, kind of recognition that politics of old, the politics of the 20th century has been a disaster for the American cause, which I think is right into kind of a libertarian viewpoint of American history. The issue is, though, is that it's one thing to talk about these things and to gripe. Again, you know, it's one thing to acknowledge that there are aspects of the 2020 election that were wrong, that democracy was weaponized. You know, again, we could look at, again, changes to the way elections were conducted in 2020, the way that big tech had a cartel censoring, you know, important information, which you can't have in a democracy, right? When information that would change the people, way that people would vote, were coordinatedly censored, like the Hunter Biden laptop. That is a major issue, but we can't simply complain about it. We need solutions. And I think what Hawley is pointing at is that the Republican Party right now simply isn't serious enough about the things they claim to care about. And I think this is true with Trump. I think this is true with McConnell. I think this is true with McCarthy. I think this is true with Ronna Romney McDaniels. And again, you know, hopefully if there's any silver lining that comes to this, it's that we have a complete changeover in the true leadership. And we have, you know, people of real merit, of really serious people, even if serious people I may disagree with on very important issues, we just need serious people right now to really build a coalition that can stop against some of the very evil things that are coming from the left.
Yeah. And if I can, you know, briefly interject my own point of view on this one, despite the fact that I think that the Republicans losing largely last week is harmful to our country. It's harmful to our economy. And it's, you know, harmful to, you know, many aspects of our society culturally. The one bright spot in this might be that the chaos offers people who are of our intellectual ilk or our philosophical mindset an opportunity to sort of rise. Where there's chaos, right, there's opportunity, right? Where there's crisis, there's opportunity, mm-hmm. right? So now is a very good time for people who believe what we believe to rise up and to establish ourselves in positions of power within the Republican Party, so that, you know, if a new party is created, as we're discussing here, that people who believe what we believe, that, right, that might, you know, have, you know, anti-elitist views on the bureaucratic state or the deep state or the administrative state, whatever you want to call it, that you know, that we can work with them on those issues while still sort of, like, you know, throwing elbows whenever they want to come in with, you know, protectionist trade policy or some other kind of, you know, central planning style solution that, you know, comes along with the more Theodore Roosevelt wing of the Republican Party. But I'd like to move on, though. I've got a couple of minutes left here. I'd like to ask you about the whole Sam Bankman-Fried controversy. We're going to talk about this later in the show. I mean, you know, without making it too, you know, minor of a topic here, it's already being blamed on libertarians, right, for this massive collapse of a crypto exchange. This Sam Bankman-Fried character, big Democratic donor. I mean, I guess the second biggest Democratic donor behind George Soros. Something's fishy here. What do you think is the big takeaway from this story? What are you really focusing in on? And do you think is the most important thing to know about this?
Well, FTX seems kind of like a perfect storm on, like, you know, it's a combination of like a really bad Ayn Rand villain with sort of a modern aesthetics, right? If you look at the guy, and really what this is all about is, I mean, FTX was trying to utilize, you know, the SEC, the regulatory state, to really hold itself up as the de facto crypto exchange, which, you know, if you talk to, you know, kind of the hardcore, you know, Bitcoin purist, right, they would say, like, well, an institution like FTX is precisely what Bitcoin was meant to fix, right? You know, Bitcoin was meant to decentralize the financial system to allow for true peer-to-peer exchanges, where something like an FTX becomes a centralized, regulatory, you know, regulated financial institution. And sure enough, right, you know, this, you know, now we've got a good old-fashioned bank run happening in crypto, right? So FTX, the more that it resembled old financial institutions, that precisely is what created sort of its downfall here. And then again, everything that Sam Bankman-Fried tried to do, instead of presenting himself as, you know, the billionaire that cares, he just wants to give everything back, right? Of course, yeah, this is typically always a front for very nefarious, you know, behind the scenes things. The political aspect, you know, it just adds a whole other layer here. I have a feeling if it was a Republican donor response, if this was Peter Thiel, that was walking away with ran away with billions of customer funds, the way the media would treat this, it'd be a little bit different than if it was Sam Bankman-Fried. But again, the libertarian criticism, you know, it's always funny because, you know, in the libertarian space, we can't seem to get anything right. And yet we are blamed for, you know, all the woes of civilization. You know, just another day in our little crazy world.
Can't win elections, can't change the outcome, you know, can't take power, but very powerful enough to destroy empires. That's the Bishop, the communications director for the Mises Institute. Though, great conversation, great interview. We hope to have you back. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having me, Austin.
Thank you very much. What did you think of Thoe Bishop? Send us a text, 573-319-1586. Coming up next, in this economy, I've got for you the sexiest pickup that you could ever have. I've got a video to show you. If you're one of those lonely boys out there, you lost your empire in crypto and you're trying to meet a girl, I've got the best way for you. I'm going to show you the best way to pick up ladies in this economy. When we get back on the Wake Up America Show at wakeupamericashow.com. Good morning, Rise and Freedom. I'm Austin Peterson, and you're watching and listening to the Wake Up America Show at wakeupamericashow.com. Happy Monday. Thanks so much for tuning in. You can send us a text at 573-319-1586. That's 573-319-1586. We love to hear from our listeners. Did you like the Thoe Bishop there? I thought he did a pretty good job. We'll definitely have him back on the program. The wakeupamericashow.com, brought to you by people like you. Elizabeth Fanning Press sent in a text message this morning saying she thinks McConnell and McCarthy have to go if the party wants to grow. Come on in, my beautiful wife. Nice to see you this morning. I forgot my hard drive today, so thankfully I've got my better half who decided to show up and bring me my hard drive so I can get some work done after the show is over this morning. If you like what Stephanie is doing, how about you give her some applause? Like the stream. Do that for Steffi, because we certainly appreciate her. Without her, I would not be able to pull off all of this. Good morning to Shawshank 2024 0034 this morning, and Al Johnson, Greg Watson. Nice to see you there this morning. Thank you for commenting and joining us over on the live stream. We are so close to monetization on YouTube. We're at 3,807 public watch hours, 3,807. So I think we'll be at 4,000 this week. So that's great news. That means that we'll be monetized and be easier for me to make a little bit of money here. Probably I'll make like, you know, a dollar a week or something like that. Who knows? We'll see. The WakeUpAmericaShow.com is funded mostly by viewers like you who make monthly donations at wakeupamericashow.com/support. And we're certainly grateful to everyone. Everyone who is a monthly supporter, of course, is getting a Christmas card. Yesterday, Stephanie was putting together the Peterson family Christmas cards, and those are going out to all of our monthly donors. So be on the lookout for those. If you are a monthly donor, you will be getting a Christmas card this year. We're super grateful to have you. All right. So best pickup line in a down economy. Isn't a pickup line at all. It's actually something that you might actually have in your wallet. No, not your credit card. Let's take a look at this clip that was going viral yesterday. Let's head over to our Twitter weirdness. Take a look at the expression on this young lady's face when this man shows her what he's got in his wallet. Take a look at this. Okay, look at her face. Wow. What's he got there? What is that? Hold on, pause. Let's bring it back. Let's do the forensic files. What is that right there? Oh, yes, that's right. His Costco card. Yes, that's what brings all the girls to the yard, gentlemen. Now, look at this. Hold on. Let's watch this exchange here. Slow this down a little bit. Now, look, he's got his little referee outfit on. He hands her his Costco card. Wow. Now, that's the key moment right there when you know that he's in. Check it out. Wow. Right there. Look at that. He's got his Costco card. And I'm pretty sure it says star member on there. There's tiers at Costco, right? Where just like it's at the other big box store where it's like 1, 2, 3 tiers. You pay for more. So I'm pretty sure what we're looking at there is a star Costco card. Hold on. Let's see. She says, wow, flips it over. Yeah. Looks like you've got that star on the card, which means that he's like, you know, premium Costco benefits member. He's like, baby, I can get your tires changed. No problem. Maybe check your oil too underneath the hood. Who knows? What do you think about that? Is that what you think is sexy? A Costco card? Well, guess what? In Jefferson City, Missouri, we don't have a Costco. So if you live in an area where there is a Costco, good for you. And I hate you. Coming up at 8 o'clock this morning, let's talk more about that crypto exchange that went down. Sam Bankman-Fried, and why is it being blamed on libertarians? We're so powerful. We can destroy the world, but we somehow can't win elections. We'll talk about all that and more when we get back on the Wake Up America Show at wakeupamericashow.com. Good morning, it's 8:03. I'm Austin Peterson. You're watching and listening to the Wake Up America Show at wakeupamericashow.com. Glad to have you here today. You can text the show at 573-319-1586. Sorry about that whole it being Monday thing. All right, so Sam Bankman-Fried is the second largest Democrat donor after George Soros, and his crypto exchange, FTX, had a massive blowout. $16 billion fortune held by Sam Bankman-Fried just disappeared overnight. Not only that, but the latest news is that some $600 million of that got hacked in the last week, and it really impacted the crypto markets overall, where Bitcoin, I'm seeing this morning, really not looking too hot. Yeah, it seems that more and more that crypto is starting to look and act just like the stock market this morning. Again, you can send us a text, 573-319-1586. That's 573-319-1586. 319-1586, and we'll be happy to hear from you. All right, so if you're trying to figure out exactly what the situation is with FTX and you need an explainer video, my friend Camelia Peterson, who I'm not related to, sent me this video over the weekend, which does a really good explainer of FTX, who Sam Bankman-Fried is, and a little bit about what happened in the last week. Let's watch this video and I'll react.
This is Sam Bankman-Fried. People call him SBF. He's the founder of FTX. He also controlled a crypto hedge fund called Alameda Research, but that's all gone now. He wants you to think he's this sweet guy. He even brought in a famous YouTuber who called him the most generous man in the world. Yep, that happened. Truth is, Sam Bankman-Fried is a liar and a crook. His personal crypto, FTX token, was basically a Ponzi scheme hidden below layers of Moonbro jargon. He even went on Bloomberg's podcast and bragged about it. Yep, that happened. He used his Ponzi token as collateral to borrow billions of real dollars that he couldn't pay back. He then used those real dollars to build an empire out of dying companies like Voyager and BlockFi. This led Jim Cramer to call him the new JP Morgan. That's weird. It's not like Jim Cramer to promote a billionaire con artist. SBF sold people cryptos like Bitcoin, or so they thought. What they really bought from SBF was an IOU. But as long as everyone didn't cash in their IOU at the same time, the scheme worked. Until it didn't. This other a-hole who hates SBF came along and engineered a bank run with some passive-aggressive tweets. It worked. SBF didn't have enough money to repay everyone at once, and now his customers have lost everything. He'll be happy to know that this is exactly how every bank in the world operates. So where did all the money go? He misappropriated $4 billion trying to save his failing hedge fund. Whoops, that's a felony. He spent $21 million on Super Bowl commercials, $5 million for the big guy, $40 million in campaign donations. I wonder what he wanted in return. And everyone who's pointing at this story and saying,
this is exactly why we need to regulate crypto.
Remember that SBF stole billions. That's already a crime. And he spent a lot of it on bribing politicians, also a crime, in order to create a crypto monopoly for himself. Government regulations don't protect the customers, they protect the crooks. That's exactly what SBF was trying to do.
Good stuff. Good stuff there. That was a minute and a half discussion by JG Nuke over on Twitter. You can follow him at JG_NUKE. He calls himself a melonhead, and his channel on YouTube is Unspecial, where he uploaded that post. So thank you very much to that melonhead. We appreciate you for that explanation. You can send us a text this morning at 573-319-1586. That's 573-319-1586. So what do you think about this Sam Bankman-Fried, by the way? Sam Bankman-Fried or Fried? I don't know. Fried, when I see his hair like that, it just makes me think that, he looks fried. But Sam Bankman-Fried in the Bahamas apparently is his customers have been completely wiped out with billions of dollars, up to $2 billion in missing customer funds. He was spotted in the Bahamas. That's where his company is actually chartered. And FTX, his company, underwent this $16 billion implosion. This is a guy, 30 years old. He had donated $50 million to Democrats since 2020. And, FTX headquartered in the Caribbean, you get all these special tax breaks and stuff. You would think a good Democrat would want to pay his taxes by chartering his business in the United States. But no, that's fascinating. But what these guys are all a part of is this crew of people who call themselves EAs or EA investing, essentially not Electronic Arts, but oh, goodness, I forgot the name of this. But basically, these are people who believe in, I'm forgetting the word off the top of my head. But it's when you want to be nice to somebody, essentially, when you want to do something good for someone. And it was what Ayn Rand always railed against. She didn't believe in it. Send me a text if you can remember the word that I'm looking for. 573-319-1586. That's 573-319-1586. Now, this Sam Bankman-Fried character, he was not a libertarian, okay? Not everybody who's in cryptocurrency doesn't make them an anarchist or a libertarian, what have you. This is a guy who used his money not only to curry favor with Democrats, but specifically for the purpose of using regulations to try and edge out competition. So the money that he was spending on Democrats, I'm alleging that the reason why he was doing that was so that he could get sweetheart deals. Kim McCurry over there hooked me up. Altruistic altruism, right? Yes. Equitable altruism. There's something about effective altruism. There we go. Effective altruism. There we go. Thank you, Kim McCurry, for hooking me up this morning. It's a research field and a community that aims to find the best ways to help others and put them into practice. So these are people who are anti-capitalist, who use the capitalist system to try and bring down capitalism, in a sense. Effective altruism. It's a philosophical and social movement that advocates using evidence and reason to figure out how to benefit others as much as possible and taking action on that basis, right? That's their stated aims. But of course, people who are donating to Democrats and asking for regulation, they're not really looking to do altruism. They're ends versus the means kind of people. And they will use absolutely any means to achieve their ends, which they claim is to help people. But what ends up happening is the money that they donate goes into the coffers and pockets of Democrats. And the accusations that are being made right now online are that Ukraine heavily invested in the government of Ukraine had heavily invested in the company FTX before it went bankrupt. And then that money was used to go to Democrats here in the United States. And the money that the United States taxpayers are sending over to Ukraine was getting invested into FTX, and then FTX was putting that money back into the pockets of Democrats. Are you seeing where I'm going here, right? This is like a recycling. Look at Laura Linkton over there this morning, and Kay Moore, and Al Johnson. Thank you very much for correcting me, for giving me that title. Thank you, Laura. I appreciate that one. Altruistic, says Kay Moore. Nice to see you. Thank you for joining us this morning, Moore. And Laura, Liberty Laura, nice to see you this morning. So consider this. Humanitarian aid, right, which libertarians are opposed to, right, goes to Ukraine. Ukraine takes that money, the taxpayer, U.S. taxpayer dollars, invests it into the company FTX. FTX takes that money, puts it back into the coffers of Democrats here. We are literally having taxpayer dollars, I believe, I allege, that U.S. taxpayer dollars are being laundered through the government of Ukraine so that it goes back into the pockets of Democratic politicians here in the United States. What do you think about that? Send me a text, 573-319-1586. That's 573-319-1586. Love to hear your thoughts on this one. So this effective altruism, this was a term that was coined back in 2011. They've got like a global conference. These are people who get together every year and they collude to steal taxpayer dollars to regulate industries to enrich Democrats, and so that American taxpayers are effectively paying for Democrat politicians to clamp down on competition. And of course, when this happens, what are people going to blame? Well, they're going to blame libertarians. Yes, libertarians are to blame, according to a gentleman this morning on Twitter. Matt Stoller says, your libertarian cult is responsible for this mess. You should take some responsibility for what you have wrought. Yeah. So libertarians are responsible for the economy, for FTX failing. Sam Bankman-Fried was a Democrat. He wasn't just any Democrat. He was actually the number two donor to Democrats after George Soros. He was a huge proponent of the regulatory state, also a fraud, and he committed fraud, you know, which he legally bribed to target others, not him. So he committed fraud. He used the regulatory state. He bribed the people in the regulatory state to regulate other people, but not him. That's not libertarianism. That is the complete opposite of libertarianism. Like Tho Bishop was saying earlier on the show, you just, no matter what you do, you just can't win. What do you think about this one? We need to dig deeper on this topic, don't you? We might hit it when we come back, but other than that, when we get back, I'm going to do a free commercial for McDonald's. Yeah, they're not paying me to talk about what I'm going to talk about. They're bringing back a menu item. And honestly, it was the only menu item I've ever gotten excited about and ever really loved at McDonald's. It was the only menu item that I would like specifically go to McDonald's because I really wanted it. And then they took it away. And I've heard from some of you. You're like, Austin, we've got it in my town. We still got it out here. All right, well, screw you, okay? I'm glad that you get to enjoy that McDonald's menu item. You've been enjoying it for years. But apparently it's coming back nationwide. And I'm so excited. Then after that, the top 10 college majors that people regret. Do you regret your college major? If so, what was your major and why do you regret it? Send me a text at 573-319-1586. I want to know what your college major was and why you regret it. I guess, Yeah, you'll just have to wait until 8:30 to hear about my college major and if I regretted it. Some of you already know what it is. We'll talk about that when we get back on the Wake Up America Show at wakeupamericashow.com. Good morning, Rise and Freedom. It's Austin Peterson. You're watching and listening to the Wake Up America Show at wakeupamericashow.com. You can send us a text at 573-319-1586. That's right. You've already guessed it this morning, Kay Moore. The steak, egg, and cheese. Yes, the McDonald's breakfast menu item is back on the menu in select locations across the country. And I am, well, I'm excited, but I'm also not happy that I don't see that Missouri is included in the list of places that offer this delicious breakfast item. I found a TikToker who did a video yesterday talking about how they make it. Let's watch it. Take a listen.
Hello, humans. Chef Mike here, former corporate chef for McDonald's, and we're going to take a look at how the steak is made. I've never seen this video, so let's hopefully it goes well. That seems like an excessive amount of butter, but that's okay. Hopefully you are not using blue gloves. You're supposed to use blue gloves when handling raw product, and that is how the steak comes in. And that opens up there, and now you have the blue gloves on, and it looks like you're seasoning the crap out of the steak. Maybe that little dispenser isn't working well, but there you go.
Ooh, boy. Oh, my God. That looks so good. Do you remember the steak, egg, and cheese bagel if it's been taken away from you? Now, apparently, select customers in Michigan, Indiana, Pennsylvania, and New England are getting access to the steak, egg, and cheese sandwich. It's a bagel freshly toasted with real butter. It holds a tender, juicy steak patty, a fluffy folded egg, two slices of melty American cheese, and of course, my favorite, the savory grilled onions on top of it. Have you ever had the steak, egg, and cheese bagel? If you haven't, it's delicious. And I swear to God, I know that I'm talking, I'm talking like about this like it's some kind of like rare culinary item or treat. It's that good, okay? And like I know yesterday when I posted on Twitter that that the steak, egg, and cheese bagel was coming back and I was excited for it, people just started throwing poo. There's this like elitist mentality of attitude of people when it comes to food. You have no idea. And listen, I'm a food snob. Okay. I am admittedly a food snob. If I had my way, I would much rather have a Jewish bagel from New York City where it was an everything bagel, double toasted with lox spread. No, not lox and spread. I'm talking about the lox spread that's made fresh with the smoked salmon actually already in the spread. And it's like sliced so thinly that you don't even get like necessarily chunks of the smoked salmon on there that goes inside that cream cheese. It's fresh made that morning. And then you put it on top of the double toasted everything bagel. Yeah. Yeah. Would I love to have something like that because I'm a food snob? Sure. But there is nothing that will bring out food snobs and like people look, it will cause people to look down on you more than if you talk about McDonald's in a good way, right? Immediately people are like, oh, how could you eat that crap? Oh, it's not real food. Oh, I hope you enjoy a heart attack and all that kind of stuff. You know, everything in moderation. You don't eat a steak, egg, and cheese bagel from McDonald's every day. Duh. You know, are the bagels in New York City better? You know, probably. But are the bagels, the McDonald's bagels that they use to make that go on, you know, steak, egg, and cheese bagels, were they delicious bagels? Yes, they were. They were absolutely delicious bagels. But you know what the real secret was? There was some kind of a cheese sauce that went on top of those things. And listen, I haven't eaten one of these things in years. The last time I was able to have a steak, egg, and cheese bagel from McDonald's was in like 2014, I think. I'm dating it, but it's like it's been that long since I've been able to have a steak, egg, and cheese bagel here because they don't have them here in the state of Missouri. But it looks like if you're waking up this morning, if you're in Michigan, if you're in Indiana, if you're in, let's see, Pennsylvania, New England, you have got steak, egg, and cheese bagels this morning. And of course, McDonald's breakfast served until 10:30 a.m. Novolox with red onion on an everything bagel, says Elizabeth Fanny Press. Oh my God, I'm so hungry. How about you? Send me a text, 573-319-1586. JGJ says he hates fast food eggs. Yeah, typically I do too, but I honestly feel like McDonald's did a pretty good job of it. What do you think? Send me a text, 573-319-1586. Sarah Palacios, thank you for not being, you know, an uppity snob. She says, I will boldly declare that I love Mickey D's breakfast, haha. I even prefer their coffee over a $7 Starbucks. Me too. I don't really like Starbucks coffee, to be honest. I think McDonald's coffee is actually pretty good, don't you? I mean, now, are there any fancy food places that actually have better coffee? Or are there any fast food places that actually have better coffee than McDonald's? Maybe, I'm not sure. I've had pretty good coffee from Burger King before, but I'm not for sure about that one. Elizabeth Press is over there singing the praises of the Novolox cream cheese and red onion on an everything bagel. Yes, I know, but I don't live in New York City anymore. Al Johnson says he will settle for a Huddle House special. But what is this? No, says Buddy Mansour. Just no, says Buddy Mansour. No idea what he's saying. No to Waffle House hack. Ask for a dark waffle. Is that some, what is that? What is a dark waffle? And anybody have any hacks that they want to share this morning? Some people even have McDonald's hacks, which I've never heard of. I always just order whatever's on the menu there. But I don't see where steak, egg, and cheese bagels are coming to Missouri at this point. So we're just going to have to, I don't know. We're just going to have to deal with it, if you will. All right. What do we have coming up next for Johnny? We have got 10 most regretted college majors. Oh, this is going to be good. The most regretted college majors. What do you think are in the top 10? Would you say? Send me a list. Just guess one, two, or three, you know, college majors. I bet you'll never guess the most regretted college major from people who graduate. We'll talk about that when we get back on the Wake Up America Show at wakeupamericashow.com. Good morning, Rise and Freedom. I'm Austin Peterson. You're watching and listening to the Wake Up America Show at wakeupamericashow.com. Well, even with the college application season in full swing, a lot of families are questioning now whether a four-year degree is even worth it. Some experts are saying the value of a bachelor's degree is fading. More emphasis should be directed towards career training. What do you think about that? Send me a text, 573-319-1586. A lot of companies, including a lot of them even in tech, are starting to drop degree requirements for a lot of middle skill and even higher skill roles. So earning a degree, they say, is worthwhile, right? According to College Payoff. This is a report from Georgetown University on education in the workplace. They say that bachelor's degree holders usually earn about 84% more than those with just a high school diploma, according to this report, right? And the higher the level of educational attainment, the larger the payoff. But when you break this down in areas of study, the difference is shocking. Students who pursue a major specifically in science, technology, engineering, and math, you know, STEM, are projected to earn the most overall. But in addition to STEM, health and business majors are among the highest paying, leading to average annual wages that are higher at the entry level and significantly greater over the course of a career compared with a liberal arts and humanities major, again, according to Georgetown. Now, the 10 most regretted majors, a list published by CNBC, show, you know, after graduation, they say reality hits. 44% of all job seekers with college degrees regret their field of study. What about you? Send me a text, 573-319-1586. That's 573-319-1586. Do you regret your college degree? Send us a text, 573-319-1586. What did you study? Quest Fanning looks like he went to school for computer science. I imagine he does not regret his degree. Science, technology, engineering, and math. Most regretted college majors. Let's start at the bottom of this list. This is according to ZipRecruiter's monthly survey of job seekers published in November of 2022, this year. This month, English language and literature, 52%. So at the very bottom of the list, people who majored in the English language, people who majored in English or lit, 52% of those people regret their degrees. Well, what do you do with an English degree, right? Teach English, right? So what do you do with a literature degree? You teach literature, right? So have you ever heard of an English major going on to do incredible things in the workforce? I don't know. I guess I never thought about that. English, I didn't major in English, but I did major in something fairly close. But, well, my degree isn't exactly on the list, but pretty close, but it's more close to the top of degrees that people regret it. So we'll get to that. Biology. Now, I don't understand that. 52% of people who majored in biology say that they regretted it. What, doesn't that fall under science, right? So if you major in biology, isn't that kind of a pre-med course, right? So if you're majoring in biology, you're going to go on to become like a medical scientist. Am I incorrect in this one? I need to know because honestly, I'm ignorant because my degree is much closer to the top of degrees that people regretted. The one after that one, I'm honestly surprised that this isn't higher on the list. 56% of people who got a political science degree in government regret their degree. I know people who, you know, majored in philosophy and went on to do well for themselves. That's probably not the norm. Most people who major in philosophy or political science, well, unless they really do truly get active with campaigns, you know, then they're not going to do well. And typically the only people who do well in politics and campaigns are the people who are corrupt, who sell their souls and are selling our soul down the country just so they can make a paycheck. You know, the political consultants to these campaigns who are siphoning off millions of dollars largely, right? So frankly, political science, if you're majoring in something like that, you, in order for you to really be successful, you're going to have to sell out at some point. So you're in there. You're a mercenary, right? You're not a freedom fighter. You can send us a text at 573-319-1586. We'd love to hear from you on this one. Bio classes are no joke. The professors say, according to JGJ over in the live stream, he says biology classes are no joke. Yeah. Cecilia Harden says she has a math degree and she loves what she does. She's a data systems administrator. She does a lot of the analytics for her company and has the logic to get our systems to talk to each other. Well, that's good for you, Cecilia. You majored in something useful. You don't regret your degree. Congratulations. We're good. Great. Grand. I'm happy for you. The rest of us, unfortunately, maybe we're not so lucky to make that decision, an intelligent decision. We were young. I was 18. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. The next one up there, medical and clinical assisting. 58% of people regret a degree in medical or clinical assisting. I guess you have to have a degree to do that to a large extent. You would think that, again, some of these don't make sense to me because it's like, you would think that a medical assistant or a clinical assistant, you know, good paying job, good paying career, but I guess you probably don't have to have the 4-year university degree for some of those things. There's a lot of that stuff that you can get from like basic certification processes or things like that. Maybe if there is anybody here in the healthcare field that has, more information, they can send this to me. I'd love to hear why somebody might regret a medical or clinical assisting degree. I would think that, you know, part of that would be a certification process that would make you prepared and ready to roll out the door to go work for a doctor with a doctor, if you will, like, you know, x-ray technician, if you will, but I have no idea. Send me a text, 573-319-1586. Reasons I'm a tech guy rather than a doctor, say JGJ. Al Johnson says politicians siphoning money off the top. Who knew? Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. All right. So next most regretted degree, marketing management plus research. 60% of people who got a degree in marketing management and plus research regret it. That surprises me too, just because that is such a booming industry. And maybe it's just, you know, I've kind of got the goggles on because that's, you know, tangential to the industry that I work in. But marketing management, I mean, there's a lot of money in being a marketing manager. If you know how to program Google Ads, if you know how to program Facebook ads or, you know, get, you know, advertising on TikTok, you can make a lot of money. But I guess, you know what it is? It's probably just that it's so niche and that people who do this, like there's a very small community of people who do this. And so it might be tough to break into or just, you know, most people aren't successful doing this, but marketing management and research comes in at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th from the bottom. Next one doesn't surprise me. Now we're starting to get into degrees that don't surprise me at all. 61% of people who get an education degree regret it. So if you went to college to become a teacher, 61% of people are going to regret that. And, you know, it's probably the money, which, you know, doesn't make a lot of sense. If you think long term, teachers do better when they're retired than they do when they're teaching. And I would think that, you know, that's kind of, excuse me, part of the allure of teaching is that you know that you're going to struggle for 30 years, you know, not making a whole lot of money, but that at the end of the 30 years, you are going to receive a lucrative pension and you'll be taken care of in your old age. But I guess, you know, 61% of people who had a degree in education regretted it. That likely has to do with, you know, the meager amount of money that they make while they're working. The next one, this is a little bit closer to what I actually majored in, although it's not exactly. 64% of people who got a communications degree regret it. And, you know, to a large extent, it's all what you do with it, right? So yeah, I work in communications. I'm one of the very lucky few people who majored in, got an arts degree and still works in the arts, right? You know, my afternoon show, the Austin Peterson show that's on the St. Louis station out Real Talk Radio Network, you know, that's a communications thing. So musical theater is what I majored in exactly. And do I regret the degree? Yes, to an extent. I probably should have majored in it, but if I had chosen something else, knowing what I know, I would have probably chosen to major in the absolute most regretted degree on this list, which I haven't gotten to yet, but I will in just a moment. Communications degrees are the most regretted, are the fourth most regretted degree. But the only other thing that I can think of that I might have majored in is the most regretted degree. So Austin, your life was destined to be difficult. The next one is more related to what I did. Again, the third most regretted degree, liberal arts and general studies. This is the third most. 72% of people who majored in liberal arts and general studies regretted it. So I don't regret it because I actually double majored. So my musical theater degree, in order to get a BFA versus a BA, most people who get a 4-year degree get a BA, but I had a BFA, Bachelor of Fine Arts versus a Bachelor of Arts. And in order to get a Bachelor of Fine Arts, you had to double major in whatever your arts degree was. And then you had to get a liberal arts degree at the same time. So I had to complete, you know, at Missouri State University, you know, everybody who goes to Missouri State University essentially, you know, has to double major. You have to have a liberal arts degree and that's your base degree. And then you have to get another degree as well. And then you can minor, but, you know, in some sense, you're getting kind of 3 degrees. Liberal arts or general studies, of course, 72% people are going to regret that if that's all you majored in. Thankfully, that's not all I majored in. But if that's all you majored in, just getting a liberal arts degree, 72% of people regretted that. And that doesn't surprise me at all. Now, the second one, yeah, this makes perfect sense to me. The second most regretted major of all of college majors is sociology. 72% of people who majored in sociology regretted their degree. And, you know, it's not even like economics where it's a social science that people, you know, you're going to get hired to, they're not handing out sociology jobs down at the sociology plant. Okay. Like to get a job and work anything related to sociology, essentially you're going to work for a government, right? Or you're going to work for a think tank in third worlds and you're going to be doing, you know, demographic data, or you're going to work for the US Census Department. Okay. Does anybody remember their sociology classes from college? You know, I took that as an elective in order to complete part of my liberal arts degree. And I remember thinking to myself, even though I was young and very naive, about like, you know, what classes were useful in terms of a career, I still remember being in my sociology class and at the end of it being like, wow, this is the easiest class I've ever taken. And this information is totally useless because it's so subjective, right? If you think about sociology, you know, and the study of, you know, the study of human interactions and human behaviors and so society, it's all very subjective. So whatever teacher you have is going to impress upon you whatever they think is the most important part of sociology. And so you don't really get useful skills that you're going to be able to take forward into your career. What do you think? Rare Camellia says that communications was my first major. Unruly said, you had a BFA, but I had a BFF. Very funny, Matt. All right. So let's look at the very top degree that people regret. And that is, this is a degree. Now, if I hadn't majored in musical theater and gotten a BFA in musical theater, maybe before I saw this list, I would have chosen this as my major. 87% of people who majored in journalism would regret. Yes. 87% of people who majored in journalism regret their degrees. That's right. When we graduate, reality hits. You're barely managing to pay your bills. Your paycheck suddenly becomes more important. What do you think about that? Yeah, journalism. Journalism majors. Now, I know it's nice. We like to hate on journalists, and certainly they are hate-worthy. But remember, your boy AP is a journalist as well. Okay, well, that and a few other things. A man of many hats, but now that I've seen this list, I guess I'm glad I didn't major in that. Although it probably would have come in handy because I ended up working in journalism. My mom was a journalism major, says Elizabeth Fanning Press. Little D Trucking texted in, said, I didn't go to college and I'm just a dumb truck driver, but I made $9,300 last week. Although I have to pay $5 a gallon for diesel at 6 miles per gallon. Oh, okay. Well, we'll talk about all that and more when we get back. We've got left to go. Finding the funny in The Godfather. Godfather film just keeps popping up. Conversations that I've been all around. Steffi and I have been talking about The Godfather, and I like to think of The Godfather as a heartwarming family film. So we'll talk about all the funny moments from The Godfather when we get back on the Wake Up America Show at wakeupamericashow.com. Good morning, Rise and Freedom. I'm Austin Peterson. You're watching and listening to the Wake Up America Show at wakeupamericashow.com. Thanks so much for tuning in and watching us live. If you are, we'd love it if you join us over on YouTube. We are so close to monetization over at youtube.com. Just saw a friend of the show went over to the AP for Liberty shop this morning and decided to make a nice purchase. It's a good time to go ahead and get in your Christmas shopping. If you're looking for a great item for a Liberty lover and your family, head on over to AP for Liberty shop. That's AP the number 4, AP for Liberty shop. If you kind of see down here what I'm pointing at, right there. We've got some Thomas Jefferson Buddhas for you. Our awesome sweater. This is a really hot seller right now. This sort of like flirty, off the shoulder, let's get baked gingerbread man sweater. Very cute item. Those items run a little bit small, so if you want it to really fall off your shoulder, you got to get one that's just a little bit bigger. So make sure you check the sizing chart on there before you order for your lady, or if you order for yourself, lady. Of course, all of our awesome firearms keychains, which gives me no end of trouble from Facebook, Instagram, Google. They do not let me advertise those on their platforms. So here I am advertising them on their platforms. They're not paying attention, are they? You can check out those awesome keychains. I've got an M16 keychain, a Desert Eagle. The Desert Eagle one is actually a working. When I say working, it doesn't fire, but it is, you know, you can rack the slide. It's got a little magazine you can remove and stuff. It's an awesome keychain. You'll definitely love to brag. And yes, so the trigger and the hammer work as well. You can get one of those at AP for Liberty shop. That's AP the number 4. I think I've actually got one here with me right now. Yeah, I do actually. Sweet. Check that out. Let's move on over to our smaller camera here. Check out this awesome Desert Eagle right there. Bam, baby. And look at that. You can rack the slide on that sucker. Nice, huh? Pretty sick. And then of course the you've got a tiny little bullet. I've got one right here. You'll have to get one yourself. I've only got 4 of these, I believe, left in inventory. So if you want one, you better get one today because they'll be gone for the holiday rush. And of course, it takes longer for things to get delivered during the holiday season. Remember, I'm not Amazon.com. So I can't ship these things necessarily in 2 days and guarantee delivery in 2 days. If you want one of the items from the AP for Liberty shop, now is the time to head to the AP for Liberty shop. Get your order in, get your shirt, whatever it is that you want. Especially if you want like a Liberty Buddha and you wanted that by Christmas, because a lot of those now I'm making those to order and then shipping them out. So it takes a few days sometimes to get them in the mail. So if you want any of the items from the AP for Liberty shop, I'm telling you right now is the time to be headed over there and to get yourself some items, some merch from the shop. Okay, what did I have for my final topic for you today? Oh yeah, finding the funny in The Godfather. thought this was an interesting article yesterday. Leave the gun, take the cannoli. Right, everybody remembers that famous line of Peter Clemenza, right? He wrote, you know, he's leaving the scene of this crime. He's a mafia capo, heads out to New Jersey, supposedly supposed to be running a few errands, and then he kills a traitor, right? The mobsters reach a desolate stretch of New Jersey, and then they shoot the guy in the head, and Clemenza comes over and says, leave the gun, take the cannoli, right? It's one of the most quote-worthy moments from The Godfather, but it's also like the funniest line from the film, which is supposed to bring like a little bit of levity from the mob hit, right? That said, that the movie isn't, you know, entirely humorless, even though it's a very serious film. There's actually more than a few laughs to be found in the whole runtime, from like, you know, geriatric crooners losing their teeth to James Caan's bada bing, you can blow the brains all over the place, right? To a stray cat that eventually became indelible to the film. Remember, Godfather, when he's sitting there with a little kitty on his, stroking the kitty while he's talking about, committing all of these crimes. Now, the opening of the Godfather scene has got another really good, funny scene where the actor who plays the Don's hitman is, what's the guy's name? The Godfather, the best scene. Marlon Brando is sitting down and he gets approached by Luca Brasi. That's what it is. Luca Brasi from The Godfather. So when you see this scene, Luca Brasi is sitting down and he's rehearsing his lines before he goes into The Godfather. And what a lot of people don't know is that actually was really him rehearsing his lines, because the actor was so nervous about meeting Marlon Brando and doing a scene with Marlon Brando that the character Luca Brasi was came in and appeared nervous. Well, he was actually nervous to be working with Marlon Brando. So when he's sitting down outside waiting to be ushered in, he's rehearsing his lines, may your child be a masculine child and all of that. Well, that's actually him being nervous, sitting outside, practicing his lines for the film. He was, Lenny Montana was the guy's name. He's a former pro wrestler, and he was actually a real life mafia guard. But despite all of that, he was actually nervous to meet and do a scene with Marlon Brando. So, you know, that's obviously a really funny, funny moment from the film. Now, Sonny Corleone's bada bing, right? So when James Caan did his performance as Giussani Corleone, he actually based it off of a comedian, a famous comedian at the time. He was struggling with coming up with his character and how he was going to play the role. And he started thinking about Don Rickles and his ability to do anything. And so the next morning, Sonny's personality was essentially Don Rickles, the comedian. So when James Caan comes up there and he goes, he says, bada bing, and you blow out the guy's brains all over your nice Italian suit. The bada bing was just an ad lib that came out of his mouth because he was trying to imitate Don Rickles. Also, some other famous jokes. Apparently, Marlon Brando was a big fan of practical jokes. Marlon Brando would drop water balloons from his apartment on 52nd Street in New York. And when he was on the set of The Godfather, there's this scene where the Don is in his cot. Well, Brando's cot gets lifted and moved in order to save his life. Well, Brando had 300 pounds of weights hidden into the cot, so that the men who were carrying him and it up the stairs could barely lift it. And apparently during the Godfather film, there was a contest where they all mooned each other. And Marlon Brando won this contest because he mooned the entire wedding scene in the film. He was named Mighty Moon Champion by the end of the film. And of course, last but certainly not the least, leave the gun, take the cannoli. Leave the gun, take the cannoli. That's an ad lib. Another ad lib. Wasn't in the script. Leave the gun represents the gangsters and the whole criminal underworld of The Godfather. But take the cannoli represents the family, which is the heart and soul of the movie. That one little line is the essence of everything. And of course, it's very funny. Thank you so much for tuning into the Wake Up America show. Don't forget, at 2 p.m. today, the Austin Peterson show is live on radio in St. Louis, the Real Talk Radio Network. If you haven't already, download the Real Talk Radio app. You can download it on your iPhone or your Android, Real Talk Radio Network. It'll say 93.3 FM. Download the app and you can interact with me in real time today. 2 p.m. Central, you hear the Austin Peterson Show on the Real Talk Radio Network. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow on the Wake Up America Show. And we'll see you later today on the Austin Peterson Show. All that and more at wakeupamericashow.com.